approach the Word of God, we're actually starting a new series tonight called The Harvesters. The Harvesters. If we jump right in from the skit, you understand that Moses was able to harvest something physical. He was able to harvest a physical victory for 3 million people. Didn't just save himself. I thought about it this afternoon. If Moses just asked God to make, you know how you do those cardboard cutout things of a person, and the Lord just punched that out of the Red Sea and just Moses walked through like this all by himself and no one else could fit, could save himself, but no, you know, just a one man path cut out in the shape of Moses' body. No, it was a 3 million person path, but it was harvested by someone that knew God, could hear God in his own human spirit. Judge, that was him, that wasn't me. Am I crazy? No, you're not crazy. Hold your rod out over the water. And he worked with God at that level, and he harvested a victory on earth, not just for himself, but for 3 million people. When he stepped out and obeyed what he was hearing on the inside. Can't repeat that enough. What he was hearing on the inside of his heart from the Holy Spirit, he harvested a victory for everyone on the earth. And then we've been going through Jesus at the pool of... That was so funny. What did he say? Sounded kind of Mexican. Sorry, Mexico. But we understand from what happened after this miracle, Jesus commanded the man to pick up his bed and walk. And the man had no faith. Jesus said, "Will you be healed?" He said, "No, not really. I'm too fat. And I can't make it to the pool by myself. I have no man to help me." Jesus said, "Pick up your bed and walk." And then he got in big trouble afterwards. And he explained exactly how he was operating. He said, "If my Father works, I work." John 5:17. "My Father works, I work." In other words, if God's Spirit tells me to do something, I have to do it. I do it. He said in 5:19, John 5:19, he said, "I can't operate independently and do these things all by myself." Praise God, because we can't either. He was operating as a man with the Spirit of God the same way we will. So this is class for us. He said, "I only can do what I see the Father showing me to do. And whatever the Father shows me, I do that. And the Father does the works." Verse 20, he says, "And the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he wants to do." This is spiritual communication. This is Jesus being able to hear the Father tell him, "I want to heal this guy this way." The Father loves the Son, and he shows him everything that he wants to do or that he is doing, and he'll show him greater things. Verse 30, the same chapter, says, "As I hear," I can't do anything by myself. Again, I can't do anything by myself, but "as I hear, I judge." What do you mean you judge? Well, was that me? Was that me trying to be seen and build a big ministry for myself and be so popular? Is my motive right? Was that my mind? Was that my spirit? Or was that God's spirit on the inside of my spirit? So we're seeing explanations of exactly how these transactions are happening. And Jesus was able to harvest a healing for a person who was not in a position to receive it for themselves. No faith. No faith. The same with Peter and John. They were walking into church that day. And from their explanation as well, as we work backwards through the story, they were told, "Don't speak or teach in this name anymore. Whatever you did and said to that guy and however that happened, don't do that anymore." They said, "This man was healed through faith in Jesus Christ." And then they said, "Yes, to further explain what we mean by that, it's the faith that is by him. What do you mean by him? The faith that comes by him telling you on the inside, I would like to heal this man today. Faith comes by hearing God's spirit tell your spirit, I would like to do this. Then you step out in what you just heard, and Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Another example of a person that did not receive on his own, did not say, I would like to be healed. Even in Jesus's ministry, I'm sure Jesus walked by him many times. How come he's still sick then? Well, he never asked. He never did what blind Bartimaeus did. Do you understand? There's going to be a lot of people in the world that don't know God, haven't ever heard, don't have faith to believe on their own, but that God wants to touch their lives through someone that's at a level that they can work with him at this level. So our new, and it's just a big continuation, our new series tonight is called The Harvesters. The Harvesters. Would you be interested in receiving more revelation from the Lord along these lines? Because really, God wants you to get your prayers answered. He wants you to function at a level spiritually where, yes, you're receiving counsel in your own heart that answers your questions. You're getting light from the Lord and you're being enlightened by him. Your path is being illuminated by the Lord. You're trusting in the Lord with all your heart. You're acknowledging him in all your ways. You're not leaning on your own understanding. You're looking on the inside for the solutions to your own personal problems. You're getting your victories and tribulation and distresses and horrible dangers are being averted. You're more than conquering in your own life. But what about other people? What about people that don't know God, that haven't been trained, that have never heard his name? What about the people that Jesus, he looked out over the crowds and he said, the harvest is so great, but the laborers, the harvesters are few. And I believe in this series, the Lord really wants to define exactly what he means when we say a laborer or a harvester. We do not want to keep the standard of people working for God at listen. We've said if God can use a donkey, he can use me. Right? Well, the donkey is not the standard. Jesus is the standard. I can see. I've said it too, because you don't think you're that great, and that's good. Your humility will actually qualify you. Moses, it's said about Moses that he was the meekest man on the face of the earth in his generation. Isn't it interesting that he was also the most powerfully used by God in his generation? So will you believe with me for utterance? Will you believe with me for direct revelation from the written word of God? It's got to be in the written word. We've got to have. We want to build on what we've already built on since March, which we did a series called More Than Conquering. And just as a reminder, when Moses held his rod out over the water, we said from 1 John 5:4, this verse says, whatever is born of God, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I have no idea what that means. But we understand, let's teach it this way. When God told Moses to hold his rod out over the water. That was a born of God victory instruction. That didn't come from someone in the crowd. That didn't come from Moses' own mind. Moses didn't make that up. God spoke that to Moses' heart. That was a born. He heard it. He believed it. And in 2 seconds, he's holding his rod out over the water. And in 2 seconds, it manifests. The wind begins to blow. It parts the sea. The land is dried. And they walked on dry land over the Red Sea. This is the victory process that overcomes the world. Born of God answers that a born again believer is able to hear, believe, act on. Also, when we talk about this, this is exactly what Jesus is talking about with the parable of the sower, Mark chapter 4. What's happening? God said something. The sower sowed the word. God gave him a way up and a way out. God gave him a victory. Whatsoever is born of God, a born of God answer overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith in Jesus? Yes. But our faith in what God just told us to do to win. Hold your rod out over the water. Our faith in what we just heard on the inside. And Moses was able to harvest a victory for himself. Now, do you see that that is how this thing happened? Does everybody see that? Yes. Does that scare you? Be like they do in India. This is... Did you see that with Moses? Yeah. Did you see that with Joshua? The sower sowed the word. God came and told him how to win. And then Joshua believed it. And he told everyone as soon as he got back to camp, this is what we're going to do. They did it. And the walls of Jericho fell. It manifested physically. He harvested that battle or that victory. He worked with the Lord at that level. David, same thing at Ziklag. The Lord said, go up at once, recover all. Nobody else heard it but him. He said, let's go. We're going to overtake. We're going to get our wives and children back. Even hearing, go up at once, overtake, recover all, he knows they're still alive. He's receiving information in his heart from God that he can believe, act on, and harvest a miracle, a victory. Not just for himself, but for the other men with him as well. And we see Jesus doing this over and over and over and over. These are spiritual transactions that manifest in the physical realm. How many of you would like to get to the place that you can work with God at this level? Ooh, pick me, pick me. I don't want to be bored down here as a Christian. Come on, you guys just want to sit on a pew and nothing happen, nothing at all. And you go home and your brother that stayed home to cook the umu say, how was church? And you said, oh, it was so powerful. Yeah, what happened? Nothing. No, when I read the Bible, I get excited about the level that they knew God and that they were working with God at. And I believe that with this great harvest that's about to come in, we understand we're at the end of time. Some great men of God are saying we're actually in overtime. We're in overtime. But the Lord is merciful. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And he's waiting for us. We're not waiting for God. Come on, God, just blow the trumpet. No, he's waiting for us to fulfill what he spoke would happen before he came. And until that happens, We will not be raptured. We will be here until we finish the job. Finish the job. Everybody say, finish the job. Maybe that's something you should say to yourself every morning when you wake up. Finish the job. I'm here to finish the job in my generation. Well, let's go to our notes. Thank you, Lord, for utterance. We thank you, Lord, for your precious written holy word. All these things that we're talking about, it really ties into being led by the Spirit of God and knowing the written word of God. We've been repeating that. Every single service, because repeated revelation will bring the results that we're talking about in your life. So we've reviewed 1 John 5:4, born of God answers, received by your spirit, acted on, causes miracles to manifest. Romans 8:37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Gave the big scary list of tribulation, famine, sword, peril. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Well, tribulation, peril, sword. No love, a lover. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved it. What do you mean through? Through him telling us how to win the same way he's told every other human being that knew him how to win. And I'll tell you what, that battle against the Egyptian army, that wasn't really a battle. It was just a spank. They all drowned. No one lived in the whole Egyptian army. That was more than conquering. That was more than humanly possible. This is the victory level that God is offering you here on earth. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by human power. Okay, all the strong men, get buckets and start bailing. No, it wasn't a physical movement. It was a move of the Spirit. Not by power, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What do you mean by your Spirit? By my Spirit, telling your Spirit what to do to win, by you being spiritually developed and focused and aware enough to actually hear me or pay attention to me when I talk, and you being able to believe it when you hear me speak to you on the inside, act on it, and boom, it manifests by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always leads us into triumph. So many scriptures, but you know what? I love too many scriptures. I love having, oh, we've got this scripture, and we've got this scripture, but wait, there's more scriptures. I like having tons and tons and tons of scriptures about how miracles work, how the manifestations of the Holy Spirit work, and I like tons and tons and tons of scriptures about being led by the Holy Spirit, that God will speak to me. I like more than enough. Because when people say, I don't believe in that Holy Spirit leading you stuff, now you don't be mean or anything like that. You just say, well, which scripture do you not agree with? Not a fight. Which scripture do you not agree with? Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of the belly. God's spirit will enlighten or illuminate our spirit. Chapter 20:5 of Proverbs, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep waters, and a man of understanding will draw it out. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your body. Oh, sorry. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your mind, your intellect, your education. It is good to have some common sense, though. Don't lean on your intellect in all your ways. Look inside. Acknowledge him on the inside of you, and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 4:23, very, very important. Guard or keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it comes the issues of life. You know, it doesn't say guard your heart with all diligence because it's kind of an important thing. It would really help you in your life. No, it says out of it comes your life, the issues of your life. So we want to be aware of our own human spirit. If that's the place that God speaks to me at this inside, then I need to be aware of my own human spirit. Romans 8:14-16, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. His Spirit is constantly bearing joint testimony with my human spirit that I am his child. 1 Corinthians 2, Mark chapter 4. I see some of you guys are getting bored already, so we better start into the message. If I'm not aware of my own human spirit, if I'm not listening to that part of me, if I'm not looking inside, if I'm not focused on the inside, if I'm not sensitive to that part of me, then I will not be aware of his spirit on the inside of my spirit. We use this illustration in Get to Know Rhema Week this week. Before Jesus left, this is Jesus, this is Peter. They had a physical relationship. They walked, they talked, they ate together, they got on boats together. They had a physical relationship. God with us. We could see him, we could hear him. But Jesus said, it's not going to be like this anymore, Peter. I got to go away. But if I don't go away physically, then the Comforter won't come. So it's expedient that I leave, because when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come. And he's going to be with you. He's going to be in you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. So this is how it was for 33 years. We had God on earth, Emmanuel, God with us. But now, in our dispensation, we don't see him on the outside. It's this. We see him on the inside. The Holy Spirit is on the inside. So if I'm not sensitive to my own spirit, he's on the inside of my spirit. So if I'm not sensitive to my own spirit, if I'm not aware of my own human spirit, if I don't pay attention to that part of me, then I'm not going to be aware of his spirit speaking to my spirit, answering my prayers, showing me what to do for myself. But as we talk about harvesters, I'm not going to be aware of him trying to move through me to help someone else. If I'm not hearing him for myself, if I'm not listening for myself, if I'm not focusing inside for myself, if I'm not paying attention to what I am hearing spiritually right now, then I'm not going to be a harvester. I'm not going to be able to do that for someone else if it's not a truth in my own life, if I'm not able to make a spiritual transaction. I never hear God talk to me. I never get a prayer answered. Well, then you're not going to go up to the next level of actually hearing on behalf of someone else and helping them receive something from God. So we need to pay attention to our inside man. My son, attend to my words. Which ones? Well, these ones, the written ones, but also the spoken live ones on the inside. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Which ones? Physical eyes? Yeah. Keep reading this. Spiritual eyes. Keep looking inside. Incline your ears to my saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are they're like a great suggestion. It might be a really good idea if you decided to look on the inside once in a while. No, it says they are life to those who find them, and health and strength to all their flesh. We do not want to be cut off from the source of our own personal life. And we understand if we are cut off from the life on the inside of us for ourselves, then how will we minister to others around us if we're not partaking of the life that's on the inside? We don't want to be cut off from the life that's inside of us. We don't want to be cut off from hearing God when he wants to minister to our needs, but we really don't want to be cut off from ministering to someone else. I want to be a harvester. I don't want to just use my relationship with God to benefit my own life. I want to help other people. God loves people. We don't want to be cut off from hearing God when he wants to minister to someone who does not know him or needs hope, healing, help. We want to hear God for ministry purposes. Personal purposes, yes, but for ministry purposes. To be a harvester for our own lives, yes, I believe I receive my healing all the time. I believe I receive provision all the time. And the Lord always comes through for me. He always answers my prayer. He always helps me. He always shows me what to do. But how about coming up to the next level where Jesus said the harvest is so big, but the laborers are so few? People that can actually work with God at this level, there's very few people that are trained to this level. We need to understand how spiritual transactions work. And I believe the guys showed you in the skits. As we begin into the meat of this message tonight, I just want to remind you of the background constant factors in Jesus' life. He was the master harvester. If you want to look at a human being that, okay, this is the best example of someone that the sower would, God would say something to him, the sower would sow the word, he would believe it, judge it, act on it in seconds, and produce the physical manifestation or the harvest in the physical realm. Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. It took like 2 seconds. And she stands straight up. That's a harvest right there. That's a harvest right there. There's very few people that can work. This is what Jesus said. There's very few people that can work with God at the same level he was working with God. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So the ones that he sends forth into the harvest are going to need to have the same constant factors, true things that were the backstage reasons why Jesus was so successful. They'll be the same reasons why you're able to minister at this level. Number one, and the one that hurts the most, Jesus was not sinning. Jesus was not sinning. Oh, come on. The first thing and the first way you'll operate spiritually is your own human conscience. When you're born again, your spirit will come online. You'll receive the God nature that you were supposed to have, but Adam lost for us. Do you know the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament? They didn't have any kind of a conscience on the inside. We went through this week, if you were here. But they needed the Ten Commandments because they had no conscience. And they could be really, really mad at someone, say, I'm going to kill that person. But wait, let me check the list. Oh, it says not to kill somebody on the list. So I guess I'm not going to do that. But that came from here. There was nothing in here that was saying, don't kill that person. They had no conscience at all. And I can't express to you what a blessing it is to have the nature of God on the inside now. I don't have to carry a piece of paper. I really want to date that guy's wife. But wait, let me check the list. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh! See, I didn't know that on the inside. I thought that would be okay. I thought that was a great idea. No conscience. Darkened in the understanding. The first way that God will talk to you, and the basic way, is through your conscience. With my body, I contact the physical realm. With my mind, I contact the intellectual realm. With my spirit, I function spiritually. Feeling is the voice of your body. And emotion or reason is the voice of your intellect. But conscience is the voice of your spirit. So he wasn't sinning. Many Christians say to me, I never hear God talk to me. Yeah, you do all the time. If you're born again, you are always hearing, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't say that. You've got an automatic guide that's always on. And I don't know if a lot of born-again Christians, they're not ready for it. Because before they could just do whatever they want and their heart never bothered them at all. But now that you're born again, it's talking to you. It's telling you what to do and what not to do. And a lot of people that are born again, they want to turn that off right away. Oh, override that. Turn the volume down on that. Oh, get rid of that voice on the inside. No, you want that. You want that happening on the inside. That's being aware of your own spirit. That's being focused on your own spirit. That's being sensitive to the things of the spirit. And if we can't get that right, being sensitive to if we can't focus or be sensitive to that or aware of that and respond to that, but we want to hold a rod out and part water, or we want to pull a guy out of a wheelchair. No. Be sensitive to the voice of your own spirit, your conscience, and that will put you in tune with the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. If I'm not listening to my spirit at this basic level that it's communicating with me right now, if I'm not listening at that basic level, the baby spirit level, and that is the baby spirit. How do I grow up spiritually? Jesus was grown up spiritually. Moses was grown up spiritually. What's the definition of grown up spiritually? Obeying your own human conscience and obeying God speaking to your spirit every single time. That is a perfect man. That is a developed Christian. But if we're not obeying basic communication, the baby spirit talk, my conscience, basic milk level communications, we're not being aware of, don't do that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to do what I want. One time my New Year's resolution was, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. It didn't work very long. If we're not being aware of what I'm hearing from my spirit right now, if we're overriding that, if I'm not listening to the law that's written in my heart, if I'm ignoring that or if I'm despising that, can't stand it. Every time I go to do that, I hear, I despise my conscience working. I need to shut it off. I need to override it. I need to turn that voice down. I need to avoid going there. I need to play the music louder. I need to be on Facebook all the time. I need to always be watching TV. I need to always be talking because I don't want to hear the inside. I despise that voice. I despise how that's worked. I want to override it. I want to push it aside. I want to shut that down. I'd like to shut that down. I hate it when that happens. I hate it when I go to do something and I get a check on the inside. I hate it. And I want to shut that down. I want to turn that off. I want to override that. I want to get that out of my life. No, you don't. Because that's the first step to becoming a harvester. How come we don't see miracles anymore, Pastor? How come there's no signs and wonders? How come there's no one operating like Peter and John? Did it pass away with them? No, it passed away with the last person who wanted to hear their conscience. Say it again, Lord. Keep correcting me. Keep telling me the right way to go. Keep leading me in the paths of righteousness. Keep keeping me holy. I'm going to be faithful to every I hear. Faithful. Okay. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Faithful. Faithful. 2 seconds to obey. Don't do that. That's right. 2 seconds. Faithful to my own human conscience. Not hating when it happens. Not trying to turn it off. I want to escape from hearing that. Escape from hearing what? From hearing God. What are you turning off? What are you pushing aside? What are you overriding? What are you despising? Life. Answers. Counsel. Getting to the place in your life where you've got your victories, but you're also now able to hear God at a level for other people. And that's where God is trying to get you. He's trying to get you to where Moses was and Joshua was and David was and Jesus was and Peter and John were and Paul. He's trying to get you there. If we turn off our conscience, we turn off the way Jesus explained how he did everything he did. I'm seeing things in my spirit. I'm hearing things in my spirit. God is showing me things in my heart. The same way you hear the no is the same way you'll hear, see that man over there? I want you to go over there and tell him in the name of Jesus, pick up your bed and walk. The same way you hear the no, the don't do that, the not right now, the he's not the one, don't eat the whole cake, whatever it is. That's the one I hear all the time. Don't eat the whole bag of potato chips, Patty. The same way you hear or sense or know that inward witness, man, it's the same way he'll tell you to reap a harvest in someone else's life. If we turn off our conscience, we turn off the way Jesus said he was doing everything that he was doing. If we shut down our hearts hearing and we want to avoid that happening, we just turned off how Peter and John operated at the gate called Beautiful. If we won't listen to our basic conscience, if we turn the volume off on how Paul was trained by the Lord in his conscience, in his heart. He said, when I received the Lord, I had to escape in a basket from Damascus. Kind of like the Tabitha. He was lowered from a basket in Damascus. He escaped. He said he went out. deserts of Arabia, and he was trained by the Holy Spirit, he said, by direct revelation. What does that mean? That means God's Spirit told his Spirit everything Jesus told the 12 and the 70 physically. God trained him from the inside, the same way he trained the 12 and the 70. So if we won't listen to the basic conscience or look inside, focus inside, be aware, we turn off how Paul was trained by the Holy Spirit. How did he write over two-thirds of the New Testament? By direct revelation, by God's Spirit speaking to his Spirit. So we don't want to turn off the voice of our conscience. He said he was trained. He got all of his messages by direct revelation. So let's go back to Matthew. Let me give you the scriptures. Sorry, we got stuck on he was not sinning. Number one, he was not sinning. Well, if the shoe is fitting, we need to wear it. We can be completely free from sin. The Lord said something pretty serious last week. And I'll say it again just in case you weren't here. And I really didn't want to say it because it's pretty tough. He said that many in the body of Christ have been trained that it's okay to sin. And that you can't help yourself. And that even though you're born again, you still can't control yourself. You can't help but still sin on earth. That is not a scripture. That is so unscriptural. But that's what's being taught from pulpits. And I will say this, teachers will receive a stricter judgment than people that sat under them and were told their entire life that it's okay for you to sin. Nobody can help it. You know, nobody's perfect. That message right there, if there ever was a doctrine of demons, that's it right there. Nobody's perfect. You're wrong. Somebody was. His name was Jesus. And he's the pattern for who we are and who we're supposed to be. Well, the Lord said this, and you know, he's full of mercy and he's full of grace. But he said so much of the church today has been told that it's okay to still sin. That's not a problem. That's, you know, just normal. For you to be born again, but constantly going against your conscience, constantly overriding your conscience, constantly not listening to the law of the Spirit of life which is in you. Because your conscience will keep telling you, But what they're saying is it's okay for you to override your conscience. It's okay for you to not listen to your heart when it says don't do that. That's normal, and everybody does that. And nobody can help. Nobody can really listen to that 100% of the time. Do you understand? Well, the Lord said if everyone in the body of Christ is still sinning, Christians that are sinning, and they know they're sinning, but they won't repent or do anything about it, that puts everyone in the category of the man from Corinth that Paul judged. He's a Christian. He says he's a Christian. He knows he's sinning. We've dealt with him about it, but he won't repent because nobody's perfect. That puts Christians in the category of this young man. And the only thing that God can do is save their spirit in the end. Paul said, I've judged this, and we're going to deliver him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that in the end, his spirit might be saved. Praise God for mercy at that level. But that is not the ultimate plan that God has for the body of Christ. Still sinning as a Christian never turned the world upside down. Still sinning, going against your conscience, not listening to your own human spirit, that will never get you to the place of receiving answers for yourself or for other people. The standard is pretty high, and I don't think we should be ashamed of it. Do you know something? It never set right in my heart when people said, you can't help yourself. You're just still a sinner, and you can't help but sin. I thought, am I that much of a loser that I can't control myself? Am I that much of a waste? No, I'm a child of God. I'm created in the image and likeness of God. I can control myself. And you know what? I can control myself now, and I can control myself forever. I can be faithful to God. I can obey my human conscience. I can listen and respond the right way, faithfully, every time. He was not sinning. Every time he was tempted, every time his body wanted to do something, his mind made a suggestion, Jesus shut it down through his conscience, saying, He knew the written word. He had unbroken fellowship with God. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He spoke from his spirit, and he accurately judged spiritual communication. So what kind of life do you want down here? Everybody knows what I mean when the Lord says, you're not obeying your conscience. You're not listening to your recreated spirit that has the nature of God. What kind of an entrance do you want into heaven? I know this is tough. But how come we don't see miracles anymore, Pastor? How come there's no healings? How come there's no manifestations? How come there's no signs? How come there's no wonders? Because the people that performed these miracles, signs, and wonders were not sinning. They were free from sin. They were faithful to the voice of their conscience. And that qualified them to hear God at greater assignment levels. We talked about it last week, how strong meat is for those who are of full age, or at full age, who by reason of constant practice have their spiritual faculties trained to distinguish between good and evil. So he could accurately judge spiritual communication. Do you know, guys, I've never taught at such a high level in my life. And I've honestly worried if people watching online would think I was crazy for telling Christians they don't have to sin anymore. That's where we've gotten to in the world, that people think you're crazy if you preach you can be completely free from sin. The Lord said to raise a standard in the Word of God in the Pacific. That's my personal assignment on behalf of Brother Dunnick, who's no longer here with us. But he did not say to keep it low. He said raise it to the highest level. And the highest level is the standard that Christ showed us. So he's not sinning. He knew the written word. He had unbroken fellowship with God. When his spirit talked to him, he obeyed it. When God talked to him, he obeyed him. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of power. He spoke from his spirit. He could accurately judge spiritual communication. Was that me? Was that my mind? Was that God? That was God. Boom. 2 seconds. Because the big question is, when we read the Bible, is how are they doing this? How are Peter and John doing this? How did Paul raise the dead guy? This is how they were doing it. And in order to be a harvester, you have to qualify at this level. I want to be a harvester. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. These are the backstage reasons why this is happening at this level. He is a harvesting machine. He is working with God at this level. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I want you to notice a couple phrases. Lord of the harvest. Did you know that you are not Lord of the harvest down here? That you can't just do anything you want or decide anything you want? Jesus was under authority and he took orders from God on earth with people on the earth. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Everybody say, his harvest. His harvest. His harvest. His harvest. It's not my harvest. Get used to taking orders. The Weiss translation says, and Jesus was going all about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and making a public proclamation of the good news concerning the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. And having seen the crowds, he was moved with compassion concerning them because they were exhausted by their troubles and their long, aimless wanderings, and had thrown themselves to the ground in an utterly prostrate condition as sheep not having a shepherd. They've given up. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few." Now understand, when he says the workers, he means workers at the same level that I'm operating at. He doesn't mean if God can use a donkey, he can use me. Can I raise a standard here without everyone being offended? Well, just send out the donkeys. Unleash the donkeys. No. Beseech the Lord to thrust out workers into his harvest. The Weymouth says that the harvest is abundant, but the reapers are few. People that can harvest, there's that word again. Harvest what? Harvest miracles like Moses did. Harvest miracles like Joshua did. Harvest miracles like David did. Harvest miracles the way Jesus was harvesting them. Working with God. And remember how those transactions work. The sower sows the word. Jesus is at a place spiritually that he can hear God when he speaks to him. He believes it, he judges it, he does it, and it manifests physically. People at this level, the harvest is abundant, but reapers are few. The Young's literal closest to the original. The harvest indeed is abundant, but the workmen are few. The Amplified, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The Lord of the harvest is the director of the harvest, and he will give his workers direction as to how he wants to harvest specifically. So there's only one person operating at this level on the earth, and it's Jesus. And he looks at all the people just in Israel. He's not dealing with the whole world. He's sent to the lost sheep of Israel. He says, there's still too many people. for me to get to. I'm just one person. I need help. I need people that can function at the same level I'm functioning at. And then in Matthew 10:1, he called unto him his 12 disciples, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now, it documents their humanity by giving us their names. And he said, go preach. Say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely give. So we see that the one becomes 13. And now, instead of just one person being able to work with God at this level, Jesus has trained 13. Thank you, Lord. And then he trained another 70. As we conclude tonight, this is where I've been trying to get to all night, but we'll just set up next week for you. I want to go over to 1 Corinthians 4. And Paul makes a statement about being stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, let me just give you some background on what he's about to say. 1 Corinthians 2, he says, I didn't come with my own speech. I didn't come with excellency of speech and enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came in power and demonstration of the Spirit. What is he talking about? He's talking about what we've been talking about all year. God has told him what to say. God has told him what to do. And there's physical demonstrations happening. He said, I didn't come with my own words, with my own speech, but I came in the power of the Spirit, God's Spirit telling me what to do, God's Spirit telling me what to say, and there was power and there was demonstration so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Just for the sake of time, that's when he went into 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6, 7, 8, 9, where he says, now, we're going to speak about hidden wisdom in a mystery. And then he went on to say, which we can talk to you because you're spiritual about these things. But the princes of the world, they didn't operate in this. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord. He said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of a man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Notice that he mentions hidden wisdom and mysteries in connection to the power of God manifesting in his ministry as he's coming into Corinth. Now, I hope, and maybe for some of you that have never, maybe this is your first time here tonight, you might have no idea what we're talking about. But we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. And Paul says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards, that word means not in charge, but a manager of the mysteries of God. Now, if we hadn't taught about this all year long, you probably, stewards of the mysteries, what's that? We're stewards of what God's Spirit says to our spirit. We're ministers of Christ, and because of that, we're stewards, or we manage what God says to our spirits. We hear it. We believe it. We execute it. We do it. And it manifests. Verse 2, Moreover, it is required in managers or stewards that a man be found faithful. What is he talking about, Pastor? He's talking about when the Holy Spirit gives us an assignment. He called that hidden wisdom, or he called that mysteries from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Does everybody remember what we've been talking about all year? His Spirit revealing something to my spirit that's hidden wisdom. He's referring that to that as mysteries. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. What does that mean? When God tells us to do something, when God gives us an assignment on the inside, when God speaks to my spirit, I'm in charge of doing that. That's been given to me as an assignment on earth. And it goes on to say, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. If you would like God to talk to you at this level, it is required in a manager, a steward, a harvester, that if God's going to give you meat at this level, an assignment at this level, that you're going to do it. You're going to be faithful to it. The Weiss translation says, in this manner, let a man measure and classify us as servants of Christ and those who have been entrusted with the mysteries of God and their disposition. Under these circumstances, it is further sought in stewards that a man be found to be faithful. How do you get classified as faithful? Well, first of all, you listen to your own human conscience. And if it says, 1,000 times a day, don't do that, don't do that. Faithful. I'm a steward of what I'm hearing on the inside of my spirit. I am managing that correctly. I am faithful to my conscience. I am faithful to the God nature on the inside of me. And if I'm faithful 100%, 100%, I always listen to what my heart says. I always listen to my conscience. In 2 seconds, I respond. Then God can talk to you about some other things. And he can make you a steward of some of the assignments that are at a harvester's level. So when God tells you to do something, you must be faithful with that information to do it. So when Moses was told, hold your rod out over the water, that was a mystery of God. And now he's responsible to do what he just heard to save the people. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And Moses was. Shoo. Do you know, at the level of a harvester, the Lord is just talking to me about what it's like. At the level of a harvester, you get to the place where when God says something to you, you can't hold yourself back from doing it. It's impossible for you to not obey what you're seeing and hearing on the inside. Jesus said, I work. My Father works, I work. Peter and John said, whether it's right in your eyes to obey God or not obey God, you can decide that. But as for us, we can't help but speak the things that we have seen and heard. We were just given the stewardship of tell that man in Jesus' name, get up and walk. It is required in stewards, in harvesters, that a man be found faithful to what God is saying to you on the inside. You must be faithful with all the information and do it. If a man love me, He will keep my sayings. He is the Lord of the harvest, the husbandman of the vine. He is in charge of the orders, the commands, and the instructions, the assignments, the words given specifically for the harvest on earth. Let me give you a couple more, same verse, a couple more translations, because really I wanted to get to this verse the whole night. That's all I wanted to talk about, being stewards of the mysteries of God. That's another verse that you read and you think, what in the world does that mean? The BBE says, let us be judged as servants of Christ and as those who are responsible for the secret things of God. The DRV says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. So God told Moses, hold your rod out over the water. That's considered the mystery, the hidden wisdom. He did it, and because he obeyed, he harvested it on the planet. He was the one, the middleman, if you will. He was the laborer that God worked with. The HCSB. A person should consider us in this way, as servants of Christ and the managers of God's mysteries. Again, managers of what God is telling our hearts to do. We manage that to the point of what? Manifestation. Harvest. TCNT. No, let's go to the NIV. So men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and those entrusted with the secret things of God. See, this is exactly what he's talking about in the second chapter where he said, God's spirit reveals things to our spirit, even deep, hidden, secret things. The TCNT, let men look upon us as Christ's servants and as stewards of the hidden truths of God. The Weymouths, we are Christ's officers and stewards of God's secret truths. The Young's Literal, let a man so reckon us as officers of Christ and the stewards of the secrets of God. Finally, the Amplified, let us be looked upon as ministering servants of Christ and stewards, trustees of the mysteries, the secret purposes of God. And then verse 2, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. It is required in a steward. The TLB says the most important thing about a servant is that he does just what his master tells him to do. The TPT, the most important quality of one entrusted with such secrets is that they are faithful and trustworthy. So if God tells you to do something or gives you some information to harvest something for another person's life, a faithful person will hear it and do it. That's why it starts with simply obeying your own conscience. Simply being faithful at that milk level of communication. And if you're faithful with that small little amount of communication from your spirit and borne witness from God's spirit, yeah, that's right, don't do that. If you're faithful with that, he can entrust you with more. Faithful to the voice that you're hearing in your heart. Well, the praise and worship team can come now. There's a lot more, but I think we got a long way down the road. Ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, I know not a lot of people want to get there. I just want to go to church, Pastor, and put some money in my tutala. And check your heart again about that. Check your heart again. Because God wants to use you for more. God wants to take you to a higher place. God wants you to open your eyes to what's available down here on earth. I heard some Rhema students testify this week. They said, if it's available, if I see something that's available in the Word, I want it. Why don't you stand with me tonight? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the honest, strong messages and it's an honor, Lord, to be able to speak on your behalf. And I pray that I represent you well. Lord, we can be honest that we're not seeing much. We're not seeing miracles. We're not seeing signs and wonders. We can be honest about that. We don't have to fake that it's happening at levels that it's not. But that's a starting place. Because we see it in your word, Lord. And you even said in Mark chapter 16, you said, they went out and preached the word, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders and miracles following. So we know that's what's supposed to be happening in our life. And when it's not, we're not afraid to ask the hard questions. Lord, how come we're not experiencing this in 2020? How come we don't see miracles? How come we're not hearing your voice? How come nobody's getting healed? How come everything we're reading about in the Bible isn't manifesting in front of our eyes today physically? We want to know, what do we need to do, Lord? What do we need to do to get to where they were? And I believe, Lord, you are teaching us. You are telling us the truth. They were not sinning. They knew the written word. They listened to their own conscience. They listened to the Holy Spirit. They were faithful to be focused on the inside. Whatever he said to them, they did it. They were full of the Holy Spirit. They spoke from their spirits, and they were able to judge spiritual communication. That's a big list, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're not going to spend the rest of our lives doing the same thing and not getting any results because we don't see what we're doing wrong. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Guys, open your eyes and look at me for a second. The first time I had a baby, and this might be more for girls than boys. The first time I had a baby, I never had had a baby before. I didn't know how to push a baby out. And I was using all the wrong muscles to push. And I wasn't getting anywhere. And the cord was wrapped around Anna's neck. Her heartbeat was non-existent. And the nurse really helped me. She said, you're pushing with the wrong muscles. And she touched my body. She said, push from here. And just like that, I got it. And I pushed that baby out in 2 minutes. And they were able to save her life. I was doing it wrong. All the effort, all the sweat. But then finally, I had a teacher that showed me I was doing it wrong and the adjustments that I need to make to get the results that we're seeing in the Bible. Our assignment, so many of us are just starting at this, listen to your conscience. Do not keep pushing that aside. Do not keep overriding your own human spirit saying, nope, don't keep overriding the Ten Commandments written on the inside of you. That's the first, simplest thing. Be a steward of that. Be faithful to obeying what your conscience is telling you, and then he can use you for more. We're going to get there, and it's not going to take us 100 years. Thank you, Lord. Harvesters, not taking up spacers, not just making it in, not so that their spirit can be saved, but overcomers, more than conquerors, trained. They were trained to get there. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you. Do you know, I could spend my whole life boxing as one that beats the air or running in circles. But thank you for the teaching gift. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you love us enough to tell us the truth. And Lord, I just, as a person, even as a person out from under the anointing, thank you. Thank you, Lord, personally. Because I've been a Christian my whole life. And I want this to be real in our lives, in the Pacific, as we go and reach the uttermost part and the uttermost person. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's close tonight. I feel we should just be done. But can we sing that song you guys sang for the offertory? And then, Pastor Jenny, why don't you come and do the announcements, and then we'll sing.
Praise. We have a third-year yard sale tomorrow at 8:30. So come around for that. They'll be selling lots of different nice stuff tomorrow. So be here for it. There'll be food as well. And then we've got our Saturday and Sunday night movies at 7:30 in Cantina. Our church service on Sunday is our communion service. So we'll be wearing all white at 10 a.m. Sunday morning. And then, of course, next week, too.